Disclaimer: this post reflects the opinions and beliefs of the author and is not official doctrine of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. However, I do ask that you consider and pray about the words herein so that the Holy Ghost may confirm truth. Le Grand Saint Michel, by Raphael. Introduction. In the first article in this series, The Seven Levels of Mankind, I discussed an overview of the seven levels of mankind and how each level's reward is defined in the eight uses of overcometh. In the second article, I discussed the first four levels of mankind. Now, with the title of the first article together with the title of this article don't add up to seven. Seven levels of mankind and eight levels of overcometh don't add up. Remember, there are eight uses of the word overcometh in the book of Revelation, and each use aligns to a level. Though there are eight levels, the exclusive membership of the eighth level does not apply to the word mankind. In fact, in this article I will discuss the layers of the levels and how there are certain important milestones that can help define other mysteries such as the number of the beast, 666. In the second article in this series, I provided a general overview of the first four levels of mankind's progression and showed how the dispensation heads align with each order in reverse chronology. Joseph Smith is over level 1, Peter is over level 2, Moses is over level 3, and Abraham is over level 4. Each dispensation head shows the penultimate example for overcoming their respective level. These examples also align to the laws of the gospel beginning with Moses, as level 3 is the first level of God's people, or Israel. In a separate article, I will go into more detail on how Joseph Smith was the penultimate example of overcoming level 1, however, the scope of this article is to cover the final four levels of mankind before reaching the level of Father. Again, each dispensation head is aligned to the levels in reverse order from Noah, level 5 to Adam, level 7. Level 5, the Law of the Gospel. Revelation 2:26-28. And to him who overcometh, and keepeth my commandments unto the end, will I give power over many kingdoms, and he shall rule them with the word of God, and they shall be in his hands as the vessels of clay in the hands of a potter, and he shall govern them by faith, with equity and justice, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. Above is the fourth use of overcometh that is overcome by the law of sacrifice. The promised rewards of level 4 help understand level 5. In the temple, the laws of obedience and sacrifice are given in quick succession to Adam and Eve shortly after the fall. As LDS, we believe the first principles and ordinances of the gospel will allow us to return to the celestial kingdom. In fact, the promised reward of level 3 was the reception of a white stone that we learned is given in the celestial kingdom, which is a dead giveaway, pardon the pun, of how celestial glory is attained after overcoming level 3. However, the white stone reveals things pertaining to higher orders or kingdoms, plural. D&C 130:10. Then the white stone mentioned in Revelation 2:17, will become a remen thummim to each individual who receives one, whereby things pertaining to a higher order of kingdoms will be made known. So, we know there are higher orders and kingdoms. Level 5 is the first of these. Power and rule are specifically promised for level 5. Level 4 is the lowest degree of celestial glory, and we LDS know this level has been defined as ministering angels who have no eternal increase. D&C 132:16. Therefore, when they are out of the world they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are appointed angels in heaven, which angels are ministering servants, to minister for those who are worthy of a far more, and an exceeding, and an eternal weight of glory. This scripture has been scary to many LDS who believe this life is the only time to find a spouse. Though they neither marry out of the world nor are given in marriage. D&C 132:17. For these angels did not abide my law, therefore, they cannot be enlarged, but remain separately and singly, without exaltation, in their saved condition, to all eternity, and from henceforth are not gods, but are angels of God forever and ever. That sounds definitive, however, The presumption that many make when reading these verses is that there is but one telestial mortality given to find a spouse. I testify through personal experience and revelation that this is not the case. Spouses can also be found outside of the telestial world. The ordinance of sealing, however, must be performed in the world. Moreover, there absolutely is more than one mortal probation, which I will demonstrate in a later article. With the presumption of selection outside the world and multiple probations in which to be sealed to a spouse, the declaration, "For these angels did not abide my law," certainly seems less strict. Understanding there is plenty of time and opportunity for those who reach level 4 to traverse to level 5 is very important. Of course, agency is and always will be respected for those who choose not to marry, but marriage itself is a key component to understanding the promised reward given for overcoming level 4 and becoming a level 5 being, which is demonstrated by the patriarch, Noah. Marriage, rule, and power given to kingdoms. Noah certainly demonstrated all three. Through his marriage he repopulated the earth. Through his three sons Ham, Japheth, and Shem were the three classes of beings to be born. Through Ham level 1 souls are born, through Japheth level 2 souls are born, and through Shem level 3 through 8 are born. Through his preaching the kingdoms of earth were made naught and he started a new kingdom. The flood is very much a symbol of judgment and renewal and symbolizes how from the end and judgment of one world a new world is born for beings to be born afresh to continue to progress and advance. The next law given in the temple that aligns sequentially is the law of the gospel. What is the law of the gospel? The first principles and ordinances of the gospel are how a being joins level 3 by being baptized and adopted into Israel. The law of the gospel is how they were gathered. The law of the gospel is the threefold mission of the church: proclaiming the gospel, fellowshipping the saints, and redeeming the dead. Through all three do we actively preach and practice the gospel to bring souls to Christ, and every single soul is covered. This is why there was no missionary effort during the dispensations of Abraham and Moses. The journey of level 3 and level 4 beings is an internal journey of self-mastery and sacrifice. Remember, between levels 4 and 5 is the cut-off for internal increase, so it is no coincidence that level 5 is the first truly outward level. Rule and power is promised, not as the world gives but as the Lord gives. Noah demonstrated the penultimate example of obedience to the law of the gospel by preaching the gospel for 120 years without any success. Just as Abraham and Moses demonstrated the penultimate examples, Noah gives us the penultimate example of adherence to the law of the gospel. We know that baptism is required to enter the celestial kingdom. To ascend to the next level of the celestial kingdom, the additional ordinance of the washing and anointing, and the temple endowment align with this ascension, and it is not a coincidence that these temple ordinances are performed on missionaries just before they are sent out to preach the gospel. They align with obedience to the law of the gospel and are a heavenly symbol of level 5 beings. Remember, level 5 beings were given the morning star upon overcoming level 4. The morning star means that the soul has now joined the ruling class of the noble and great ones who enter a new creation with a new son who rules at the behest of the Father who presides over the creation. Level 5 is the first level of increase, and that increase is attained by joining the administration class of a creation. As evidence for this concept, take note that the Lord introduces himself uniquely to each angel of the seven churches. Compare the first introduction to the fifth. Revelation 2:1 unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, "These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks." Revelation 3:1 and unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, "These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God, and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest, and art dead." The introductions are very similar, especially if they are compared to the other five introductions. I believe this is a very big clue as to defining the morning star. The morning star is given at overcoming level 4 at the end of Revelation chapter 2, and then the Lord introduces himself to level 5 almost the same way as he does to level 1, only he adds another layer: there are seven spirits in addition to the seven stars. I believe this means that there is another layer of understanding or a closer proximity to the seven archangels. This is a new creation again, only this time level 5 beings are part of the ruling class as defined in the fourth use of Overcometh given at the beginning of this section. One additional note of distinction between level 4 and level 5 beings. Cherubim are an order of angel presented in the Old Testament as having four faces and four wings, Ezekiel 1. I believe cherubim are level 4 beings whose four wings are a representation of their order. There is more evidence that these beings are the order of ministering angel. First, the cherubim are given the charge to protect the tree of life along with a flaming sword. Guardianship is not the role or task of a ruling class being. Moreover, cherubim are placed atop the Ark of the Covenant, which could very well be a symbol to the level 3 beings of Moses' day of their promised reward for obedience. Level 5 beings' ruling class is demonstrated through the law of the gospel. I believe level 5 beings are the principal executors of preaching the gospel on both sides of a veil. Though Noah is patriarch over level 5, I believe level 5 beings are largely born during years where the gospel is preached. This would certainly fit with latter-day revelation where apostles and prophets teach that the noblest of God's souls have been preserved for these latter days, during a time where the missionary effort is to gather the elect from all corners of the earth. Matthew 24:31 And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. JST Matthew 24:37 And whoso treasureth up my word, shall not be deceived, for the Son of Man shall come, and he shall send his angels before him with the great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together the remainder of his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. In all ages prophets have looked down through the corridors of time to our day. Billions of the deceased and those yet to be born have their eyes on us. Make no mistake about it, this is a marked generation. There has never been more expected of the faithful in such a short period of time than there is of us. Never before on the face of this earth have the forces of evil and the forces of good been so well organized. Now is the great day of the devil's power. But now is also the great day of the Lord's power, with the greatest number of priesthood holders on the earth. Ezra Taft Benson, In His Steps, September 1988. Level 6, The Law of Chastity. The promised reward for level 6 beings received is obtained upon overcoming level 5. The reward is given in the fifth use of Overcometh given to the fifth angel and fifth church. Revelation 3-5 He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father, and before his angels. The future reward for level 6 beings is given in the sixth use of Overcometh given to the sixth angel and the sixth church. The promised reward is a clue to the trial that must be overcome to receive the promised reward. Revelation 3:12 Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Wow! There are a lot of promised rewards for overcoming 6 and becoming a level 7 being. Here they are. A pillar in the temple of the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, or Heavenly Father. The overcomer shall go no more out. Reception of the name of Heavenly Father. The name of the city of Heavenly Father, which is New Jerusalem. Reception of the new name of Jesus Christ. What is a new name? It symbolizes a new identity. What is the new identity of Jesus Christ after he has received a full inheritance from Heavenly Father? Why the new identity is that of Heavenly Father? Overcoming level 6 and ascending to level 7 grants the 5 promised rewards detailed above, including knowing Heavenly Father's name now, and Jesus' new name as Heavenly Father for a new creation. The Father level is fully revealed. Level 7 is the archangel level, or the level of the dispensation heads. This explains why Adam walked with God the Father and why Joseph Smith saw the Father and spoke to him while Peter, James, and John were only allowed to hear the Father, who was hidden in a cloud at the Mount of Transfiguration. In fact, The promised reward of overcoming level 5 is Jesus confessing the soul's name before the Father. Why is that important? Well, first the soul's name is given to the Father at level 6. Then the Father's name is given at level 7. These are two layers of a critical promised reward. So, level 6 beings have been confessed to the Father and will receive His name upon overcoming. Who could these level 6 beings be? Revelation 7-2 And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. 3 Saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. The above verses occur during the sixth seal. The angel declares that the earth, sea, and trees must not be hurt until they have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads. Sealed what in their foreheads? Revelation 14:1 And I looked, and, lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Sion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. 2 And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. 3 And they sung as it were a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts, and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. 4 These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the firstfruits unto God and to the Lamb. The name of the Father is sealed in their foreheads. The name is sealed because the seal is, well sealed, unopened. So, the name of the Father written in the unopened seal is clearly a reference to a future reward. The 144,000 are level 6 beings. There is another clue as to their identity in verse 4. None of them are defiled with women, for they are virgins. Defilement with women is a challenge of overcoming the natural man, which is level 2. Thou shalt not commit adultery is an action-based lesser law given to level 3. Virgins are certainly not a requirement of holiness, in fact marriage is a requirement for eternal increase. I believe the two references here to defilement and virginity have more to do with the forehead than actions. The forehead has been mentioned twice in relation to the 144,000. Why the forehead? If the name of the Father is just sitting there, waiting to be opened, what could possibly be prevented this sealed knowledge from opening? No unclean thing can dwell in the presence of the Father, 1 Nephi 10:21. Does that include our foreheads? Must we master our foreheads, or our thoughts, before we can have the Father revealed to us? Alma 12:14 For our words will condemn us, yea, all our works will condemn us, we shall not be found spotless, and our thoughts will also condemn us. And in this awful state we shall not dare to look up to our God, and we would fain be glad if we could command the rocks and the mountains to fall upon us to hide us from His presence. D&C 137-9 For I, the Lord, will judge all men according to their works, according to the desire of their hearts. There are four platforms upon which we will be judged: our works, our desires, our words, and our thoughts. These four areas of judgment align perfectly with the first four laws given in the temple. I submit to you that the law of chastity as given in the temple is not a requirement of action alone, but of desire, words, and thoughts as well. This is the higher law of chastity. So how does this fit with the patriarch, Enoch? Moses 7:18 And the Lord called his people Zion, because they were of one heart and one mind, and dwelt in righteousness. And there was no poor among them. Enoch's penultimate example of obedience to the law of chastity is to build a chaste people, a people so chaste that they enjoyed one heart and one mind. Zion is impossible if the people do not have control over their actions, desires, words, and thoughts. There was no poor among them is a challenge of the next law given in the temple, the law of consecration, which will be discussed next. The Davidic servant is an end-times ruler who has been prophesied by both ancient and modern prophets to gather Israel and restore the Davidic kingdom. In a separate article, I have presented the sign given on September 23, 2017 as a possible fulfillment of not only Revelation 12 but also of Isaiah 9-6, "For unto us a child is born." This article is extremely relevant to the sixth level of mankind, as I believe the Davidic servant may be the first level six being to ascend to the seventh level, or the level of the archangels themselves. Level 7, the law of consecration. The law of consecration is a divine principle whereby men and women voluntarily dedicate their time, talents, and material wealth to the establishment and building up of God's kingdom. Definition from LDS.org. Though mastery of thought is required to make a people who are of one heart and of one mind, the fact that there was no poor among them is a fruit of obedience to the law of consecration. As all dispensation heads do, Enoch demonstrates to his level how to overcome level 6. As we ascend the levels, there are fewer and fewer beings. Level 8 comprises one individual, Jesus Christ himself. As I discuss in the companion article, "For unto us a child is born," level 7 comprises 7, now 8 individuals, in my humble opinion. I believe the Davidic servant is the first level 6 being in our creation to achieve level 7. He will build Zion in preparation for the second coming. Enoch built Zion as an example to the order over which he presides, level 6. As the presiding being over level 6, the Davidic servant must now follow the example given by Enoch to build Zion again. Upon his success, the city of Enoch will return. Moses 7:62, "And righteousness will I send down out of heaven, and truth will I send forth out of the earth, to bear testimony of mine only begotten, his resurrection from the dead, yea, and also the resurrection of all men, and righteousness and truth will I cause to sweep the earth as with a flood, to gather out mine elect from the four quarters of the earth, unto a place which I shall prepare, an holy city, that my people may gird up their loins, and be looking forth for the time of my coming, for there shall be my tabernacle, and it shall be called Zion, a new Jerusalem." 63 "And the Lord said unto Enoch, Then shalt thou and all thy city meet them there, and we will receive them into our bosom, and they shall see us, and we will fall upon their necks, and they shall fall upon our necks, and we will kiss each other. And for unto us a child is born." I make the case that righteousness is the Davidic servant who gathers the elect and builds the new Jerusalem. The overcoming of each level is a little trickier, a little more difficult, than the preceding levels. In this case, I believe the Davidic servant overcomes level 6 through a series of personal trials that are largely detailed in the book of Isaiah, chapters 41-46. After he overcomes these trials, he ascends from a conditional servant to become an unconditional son as a level 7 being, whereupon he embarks upon his public ministry that centers around the law of consecration. This law is the bridge between level 6 and level 7, as the archangels themselves must be able to consecrate their time, talents, and wealth, basically everything they are and everything they have, to the building up of the kingdom of God. And they must be able to gather, build, and establish a community that is centered in the law of consecration. The promised rewards of level 6 help understand the magnitude and grandeur of achieving level 7. Below are the rewards listed out again from the previous section. Revelation 3:12, "Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name." A pillar in the temple of the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, or Heavenly Father. The overcomer shall go no more out. Reception of the name of Heavenly Father. The name of the city of Heavenly Father, which is New Jerusalem. Reception of the new name of Jesus Christ. All of these promises are incredible, but what does it mean to go no more out? That is worthy of celebration indeed, a celebration certainly on the other side of the veil that may have a heavenly representation in the stars that was prophesied almost 2,000 years ago. Again, I refer to the companion article that fully explores this event, "For unto us a child is born." I believe the term prince is used to designate the souls who have ascended from the 6 to 7, to go no more out. They are now inheritors of heavenly royalty, whose next challenge is one of self-mastery to perfection, and governance to godhood. These princes know the Father's name and will enjoy a close proximity to the Lord Jesus Christ in his new role as Father, just as the level 7 beings of our creation do. They are the pillars upon which a world is founded, each pillar representing one level or class of beings that is founded upon said pillar. To go no more out may also be a clue as to the meaning of 666. If 6 must be overcome to go no more out, then level 6 may be the highest level wherein full rebellion is possible. 666 may be indicative of the level of the being or beings who lead the rebellion. 777 is a lucky number indeed. The law of consecration was attempted by the saints and was called the United Order, or the United Order of Enoch. A system of unity in temporal matters has been revealed to the Church in this day, such as currently known as the Order of Enoch, or the United Order, and is founded on the law of consecration. As already stated, in the early days of the Latter-day Church the people demonstrated their inability to abide this law in its fullness, and, in consequence, the lesser law of tithing was given, but the saints confidently await the day in which they will devote not merely a tithe of their substance but all that they have and all that they are, to the service of their God, a day in which no man will speak of mine and thine, but all things shall be the Lord's and theirs. In this expectation they indulge no vague dream of communism, encouraging individual irresponsibility and giving the idler an excuse for hoping to live at the expense of the thrifty, but rather, a calm trust that in the promised social order, such as God can approve, every man will be a steward in the full enjoyment of liberty to do as he will with the talents committed to his care, but with the sure knowledge that an account of his stewardship shall be required at his hands. James E. Talmage, 1899. Articles of Faith. Pages 439-440. Understanding the law of consecration is a key that unlocks understanding the missions of Enoch, Joseph Smith, and the Davidic servant. In my opinion, both Enoch and Joseph Smith were already level 7 beings from the foundation of the world. Enoch is a level 7 prince archangel over level 6 beings and Joseph Smith is a level 7 prince over level 1 beings. In the prior article, The First Four Levels of Mankind, I pondered when addressing Joseph Smith's example over the souls of which he presides, level 1. And though I believe this will require a full article dedicated to the subject, I am confident enough understanding has been shared at this point to present the idea that Joseph Smith's example is one of failure. Enoch built Zion successfully. Joseph Smith failed. The Davidic servant now will build Zion and the New Jerusalem where the city of Enoch will meet, and he must succeed. Joseph Smith's example to level 1 beings is how to fail and not fall. How to have a younger soul eclipse your progress and not throw the stack of papers in the air. In my estimation, this is why just about every single prophet you can think of is explicitly a younger brother. This principle of inheritance through action and not through order of age is a clear pattern that repeats throughout all the standard works that underlines the importance of not only gaining light and knowledge but also of not letting your pride lead you down the wrong path when your younger brother is chosen. So, how does Michael, the chief archangel and highest priesthood authority bound to this world, demonstrate the law of consecration? Zion is a microcosm of the earth celestialized. His Zion will be the earth at the end of the millennium. Michael earned the right to walk with the Father by overcoming level 6 and sacrificed, dedicated all his inheritance, for a new world so that souls may be born here and then progress. Michael is the principal level 7 being who dedicates all his time, talents, and possessions, including his eternal inheritance, to oversee all 7 levels of progression. The law of consecration could certainly align with level 6 and the test of overcoming level 6, however, I believe Enoch's example also incorporates the first trial of level 7. Enoch's first trial was overcoming personal challenges and trials of faith. After he overcame himself, he was then empowered to build Zion. I believe it is very possible that overcoming level 7 requires a being to learn to administer and judge even level of mankind, the final test being the principal priesthood and authority of an entire world as the chief prince or archangel of that world, just as Michael is our chief prince and archangel. These levels may be administered sequentially, however, Joseph Smith has singled out Gabriel as the second in authority to Michael. The priesthood was first given to Adam, he obtained the first presidency, and held the keys of it from generation to generation. He obtained it in the creation, before the world was formed, as in Genesis 1:26, 27, 28. He had dominion given him over every living creature. He is Michael the archangel, spoken of in the scriptures. Then to Noah, who is Gabriel, he stands next in authority to Adam in the priesthood. Joseph Smith, History of the Church, 3-385-88. Though Noah is over level 5 and Enoch over level 6, I do believe Enoch is the third being in authority, as Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael are mentioned often as a trio, and Joseph Smith refers to Michael as obtaining the first presidency. I do believe Raphael is Enoch, though this a topic for another day. There are some other LDS who agree Raphael is Enoch. www.johnprant.com web link. Finally, though I clearly believe Joseph Smith is over level 1 souls, that does not mean he is necessarily seventh in authority. Here is an interesting note from church history that certainly aligns with him being at or near that seat. At the close of the forenoon meeting, Apostle Erastus Snow said when they were convened in the Kirtland Temple, there was a young man wrought upon by the spirit of prophecy and foretold that the prophet Joseph Smith would be the sixth angel. October 8, 1882, diary entry by Charles Oricard, page 386, the Utah years. Notice the verb tense, would be in the word foretold. This was written in 1882. 38 years after Joseph Smith's death. This certainly aligns with Joseph Smith being the seventh angel even in October, 1882, and that he would then become the sixth angel. Note that the archangels can be counted in forward or reverse order depending on whether you are stating the level over which they preside or whether you are stating their rank from Michael. I believe the latter is clearly the intent here, though certainly it's possible that the former is the meaning as well. Level 8. God the Son. Is there one path to godhood, or is there more than one? Many LDS believe there are at least two. They believe the Lord Jesus Christ inherited all the Father has after his resurrection and ascension, but somehow we can become heavenly fathers and heavenly mothers by some other path. The scriptures say it, and I defy all the learning and wisdom and all the combined powers of earth and hell together to refute it. Here, then, is eternal life. To know the only wise and true God, and you have got to learn how to be gods yourselves, and to be kings and priests to God, the same as all gods have done before you, namely, by going from one small degree to another, and from a small capacity to a great one, from grace to grace, from exaltation to exaltation, until you attain to the resurrection of the dead, and are able to dwell in everlasting burnings, and to sit in glory, as do those who sit enthroned in everlasting power. Joseph Smith, King Follett Sermon. Thank you, Joseph Smith. Therein is the answer. There is one path, the same as all gods have done before us. The seventh promise of overcoming as given in the book of Revelation. Revelation 3:21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am sat down with my Father in his throne. I want to define the word as from Merriam-Webster, since it is both used here in Revelation 3:21 and in the quote by the prophet Joseph Smith above. As 1, to the same degree or amount. The promised reward for overcoming level 7 is to join the throne of Jehovah, the throne of Jesus Christ, even as he overcame and is now set down with his Father in his throne. There are two thrones here mentioned in this short passage, Jehovah's throne and Elohim's throne. Overcoming level 7 grants you to overcome the following level the same way the Savior overcome. So, the promise of overcoming 7 is a bit of a brain twister, let us break it down. Bolded words are added for clarity. To him that overcometh level 7 will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame level 8, and am sat down with my Father in his throne, which is the reward for overcoming level 8. The reward for overcoming level 7 is to overcome level 8 as, or to the same degree or amount, that Jesus overcame level 8 and is now set down with his Father, which is the reward for level 8. Your reward is to become a Son of God, a Creator, a Savior, a Mediator, and a Redeemer of mankind. Here is the eighth use of overcometh, which adds more specificity to the reward that is mentioned above, to sit down with the Father in his throne. Revelation 21-7 He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. The context of Revelation 21-7 is, he that overcometh, dash meaning that this promised reward is open to who overcome this level. This is the same promise that was given to the Son, Jehovah, by his Father Elohim. Read the verse again with that in mind, as though Elohim had given Jehovah this promise at the dawn of this creation. Now with that in mind, we see that the Son himself becomes a Father, the same way the Father inherited his own throne. This adds layers of understanding as to how Jesus only did the things he saw his Father do. The scriptures inform us that Jesus said, as the Father hath power in himself, even so hath the Son power, to do what? Why, what the Father did. The answer is obvious, in a manner to lay down his body and take it up again. Jesus, what are you going to do? To lay down my life as my Father did, and take it up again. Do you believe it? If you do not believe it, you do not believe the Bible. Joseph Smith, King Follett Sermon. If Michael overcomes level 7 and becomes a level 8 being in a new creation, he will say the same thing about the Father of his creation, who will be Jesus Christ. We will capitalize third-person pronouns when referring to him out of respect and relevance for his achievement of firstborn, and he will say something similar, if not the same, as this. John 5:19 Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. This is what D&C 93 means where it says that the Son became the Son by going from grace to grace, and what Joseph Smith meant in the King Follett sermon when he spoke of going from exaltation to exaltation. D&C 93 hours 12 minutes And I, John, saw that he received not of the fullness at the first, but received grace for grace. 13 And he received not of the fullness at first, but continued from grace to grace, until he received a fullness. 14 And thus he was called the Son of God, because he received not of the fullness at the first. What is grace? It is the saving power offered by only one being in a creation. What is exaltation? To be exalted, or to gain exaltation, refers to the highest state of happiness and glory in the celestial realm. Russell M. Nelson, April 2008 General Conference. So what does it mean to go from one exaltation to another? To me, this means is just another way of saying from one grace to another grace. In other words, the grace is the means by which we are exalted, so both sayings indicate movement from one creation that is saved and exalted to another creation that is saved and exalted. I will address this further at the conclusion. John 14-6 Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh unto the Father, but by me. Indeed. There are new layers of meaning to this scripture. Yes, the Father can only be seen and be revealed by the atoning mercy of Jesus Christ. Moreover, having the Father's name revealed can only happen by overcoming level 6 and joining the ranks of the dispensation heads. Finally, joining the Father to sit with the Lord's Father in his throne may only be done by overcoming as the Lord overcame. Many LDS believe that Jesus Christ's title of firstborn was given as Heavenly Father's first created spirit. But, how does this make any sense with any of our latter-day revealed knowledge about agency and gaining light and knowledge? A man is saved no faster than he gets knowledge. Joseph Smith, History of the Church, 4-588. Is there one path or many to perfection? D&C 50 hours 24 minutes That which is of God is light, and he that receiveth light, and continueth in God, receiveth more light, and that light groweth brighter and brighter until the perfect day. The Lord taught us how to be perfect in his Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5:48 Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. The Lord taught this same sermon to the ancient Americans shortly after his atonement and resurrection. 3 Nephi 12:48 Therefore I would that ye should be perfect even as I, or your Father who is in heaven is perfect. The Lord Jesus Christ did not refer to himself as perfect until after he descended below all and inherited all the Father hath. Paul understood this concept. Romans 8:17 And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Joint heirs with Christ is a concept few understand. Yes, the inheritance we receive is due to his atoning mercy, however, through his atoning mercy are we able to overcome and ascend to the next step that eventually leads to his step, joint heirs. Hebrews 1:1 God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, who hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. 3 Who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. 4 Being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Some think that the idea of being a son before being a father somehow is disrespectful to the singular divinity and accomplishment of Jesus Christ. I submit to you that thinking you can become a god and create spirits as Elohim does without suffering as Jesus did first, without living a perfect life first, is the real disrespect. To think you could elevate to Elohim's level and inherit all without walking the same or similar path is the real disrespect. You cannot inherit all before descending below all, and you cannot dwell in a sphere with the Father where no sin is permitted without proving you can do so first in a telestial sphere. You must become joint heirs with him by following the same or similar course as he has by ascending each level in turn, receiving grace for grace, and by ascending from grace to grace. I shared DMC 93 hours 12 minutes minus 14 above to illustrate how the Lord received his sonship. Below is the full context of that portion of DNC 93 that includes how these principles apply to us. DNC 93 hours 11 minutes And I, John, bear record that I beheld his glory, as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, even the Spirit of truth, which came and dwelt in the flesh, and dwelt among us. 12 And I, John, saw that he received not of the fullness at the first, but received grace for grace. 13 And he received not of the fullness at first, but continued from grace to grace, until he received a fullness. 14 And thus he was called the Son of God, because he received not of the fullness at the first. 15 And I, John, bear record, and lo, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Ghost descended upon him in the form of a dove, and sat upon him, and there came a voice out of heaven saying, This is my beloved Son. 16 And I, John, bear record that he received the fullness of the glory of the Father. 17 And he received all power, both in heaven and on earth, and the glory of the Father was with him, for he dwelt in him. 18 And it shall come to pass, that if you are faithful you shall receive the fullness of the record of John. 19 I give unto you these sayings that you may understand and know how to worship, and know what you worship, that you may come unto the Father in my name, and in due time receive of his fullness. 24 If you keep my commandments you shall receive of his fullness, and be glorified in me as I am in the Father, therefore, I say unto you, you shall receive grace for grace. So, John testifies the process as to how the Lord Jesus Christ received a fullness from the Father. In verse 12, he begins by saying the Lord received grace for grace. What is grace? Grace is the saving power of Jesus Christ. From whom did Jesus receive grace, and more importantly, when? John then goes on in verse 13 to say that the Lord proceeded from grace to grace. What's the difference? For and to are very different prepositions. For has many definitions in the dictionary, so let's see if we can find the one that is most fitting. For. Used as a function word to indicate equivalence in exchange. Jesus received grace in exchange for grace. Huh? That doesn't really make sense. From whom would he receive grace and to whom is he exchanging? There is only one being who offers grace in a creation. 4. Used as a function word to indicate purpose. Jesus received grace for the purpose of grace. So, Jesus received grace from someone for the purpose of having grace himself. This makes more sense. Especially when considering that the Lord said he has only done what he saw the Father do. If the Lord was there as a level 7 being in the Father's creation who was a level 8 at the time, then Jesus certainly would have received grace from the Father for the purpose of having his own grace for a following creation. To is a bit more straightforward. Just about every definition of to is a derivative of the following. To. Used as a function word to indicate direction. Jesus went from grace to grace. He went from one location or state of being to another. Again, what is grace? Grace is the saving power offered by only one being in any given creation. D&C 93 hours 13 minutes is how the title firstborn is achieved. Firstborn isn't something you are born with, it is earned. Remember, John is testifying as to how Jesus became the Son and how he received the fullness. First, the Lord received grace for grace and then the Lord continued from grace to grace. This is at least two creations, but certainly can indicate more like saying I continued from bar to bar until I hit rock bottom. That is a terrible example, but you get the idea. D&C 93 hours 18 minutes and it shall come to pass, that if you are faithful you shall receive the fullness of the record of John. As soon as the speak changes from John to the Lord in verse 18, the Lord tells us how we will receive the fullness of the record of John if we are faithful. To me, this is the Lord giving overt clues and then is basically saying, if you are faithful, you will have John's full record that explains this process of how one becomes a son by proceeding from creation to creation in explicit detail. Further evidence of this intended meaning is had in the following verses. D&C 93 hours 19 minutes I give unto you these sayings that you may understand and know how to worship, and know what you worship, that you may come unto the Father in my name, and in due time receive of his fullness. Verse 19 is now the Lord saying, I want you to understand how to worship and what you worship that you may in due time receive of the Father's fullness. I reworded the verse a bit. Well, how does understanding what we worship help us come unto the Father and in due time receive of his fullness, unless said fullness is received the exact same way? What you worship is a man who proceeded from one creation to another, receiving grace for his grace, proceeding from one grace to another grace just like you will if you come unto the Father and in due time receive of his fullness. The levels charted. Below, I have charted all 8 levels together. Seeing all the levels, laws, signs, and degrees of separation together in one spreadsheet helps see how it all ties together beautifully. There are certain areas of the chart that could be adjusted. For example, Veil 4 could move up 1 or 2 levels, as the Father is revealed to level 7. However, I placed Veil 4 between God the Son and God the Father because Jesus himself does not dwell there himself until after he inherits all and then sits on his eternal throne. So Veil 4 is first truly pierced upon entering level 7 but is not fully traversed until 8 is overcome. Similarly, the brother of Jared pierced the veil but did not fully traverse it until later. The kingdoms of levels I through 3 may be confusing at first. But I believe we had descended from the celestial sphere in which we were created, through the veil that divides the celestial and terrestrial kingdoms, having forgotten the Father. Otherwise we could not have exercised faith in Jehovah had the Father been present. Moreover, no unclean thing can dwell in the presence of God, let alone a war. So level I descends from a terrestrial sphere to level 2, earth. And 2 ascends from celestial back to terrestrial sphere. I could have extended out another 2 rows above level I to demonstrate the celestial level from which we were born, but that is slightly beyond the scope of the levels of mankind discussion. There are also 4 veils that separate 5 spaces, celestial to terrestrial, terrestrial to celestial, celestial to middle celestial, and middle celestial to highest celestial. We are given 4 signs and tokens in the temple to traverse veils and checkpoints. So the number of veils and signs and tokens all align. I believe the first sign of Aaron was given in the premortal life to those who overcome and that the sign was used to both show our sustaining vow to Jehovah and is shown again when we traverse the veil to enter this life through birth. We use that same sign to demonstrate a sustaining vote in the church. This is not a coincidence. The sign is shown again at baptism to indicate our rebirth. We LDS believe there are 3 degrees within the celestial kingdom, but what are they? Ask nearly anyone and they will likely say, "I don't know." This is another aspect of my chart that may be adjusted, however I submit that these are the levels 3, I couldn't resist. Many agree that the lowest degree of celestial glory is that of the angels who receive no increase, CD and C132 reference above, I concur. Also, many agree that the highest level is the level where the Father resides. That conclusion is also perfectly reasonable, with which I agree as well. But what is the middle degree? In the chart above, you can see clearly that Celestial 2 is the bridge of increase given between 1 and 2. These are levels 5, 6, 7, and 8. I will only mention the seal of Melchizedek here, as I believe the square represents I through 4 and the diamond represents V through 8. The square sign and symbol is half the square, as is the compass half the diamond, but I will explore these alignments in a future article. I believe the reason many cannot comprehend the middle degree of celestial glory is because the middle degree does not make much sense without accepting the concept of multiple mortal probations. The majority accept there is progression beyond this life, however, many believe that a temple sealing equates to the highest degree of celestial glory. Though we are sealed to be kings and queens, this is a process that includes further mortalities and descents into telestial worlds. Through this process of descent and ascent, further inheritance is obtained. The sequence of inheritance is given in D and C 132 hours 19 minutes in reverse order, the same order of the dispensation heads or archangels. D and C 132 hours 19 minutes and again, "Verily I say unto you, if a man marry a wife by my word, which is my law, and by the new and everlasting covenant, and it is sealed unto them by the Holy Spirit of promise, by him who is anointed, unto whom I have appointed this power and the keys of this priesthood, and it shall be said unto them, ye shall come forth in the first resurrection, and if it be after the first resurrection, in the next resurrection, and shall inherit thrones, kingdoms, principalities, and powers, dominions, all heights and depths, then shall it be written in the Lamb's book of life, that he shall commit no murder whereby to shed innocent blood, and if ye abide in my covenant, and commit no murder whereby to shed innocent blood, it shall be done unto them in all things whatsoever my servant hath put upon them, in time, and through all eternity, and shall be of full force when they are out of the world, and they shall pass by the angels, and the gods, which are set there, to their exaltation and glory in all things, as hath been sealed upon their heads, which glory shall be a fullness and a continuation of the seeds forever and ever. I have charted dominions, powers, principalities, kingdoms, and thrones which align perfectly with levels 4 through 8, the celestial levels. Powers also aligns perfectly with the temple endowment, which is an endowment of power given to the Melchizedek priesthood before they embark on mastery over the law of the gospel. One final note about the Church of the Firstborn. The church is not necessarily named after Jesus Christ. What is a church but a vehicle? The Church of the Firstborn is the vehicle by which the ascending celestial souls become firstborn themselves, and the firstborn of any given creation presides over that membership. D and C 77 hours 11 minutes Q. What are we to understand by sealing the on 144,000, out of all the tribes of Israel, 12,000 out of every tribe? A. We are to understand that those who are sealed are high priests, ordained unto the holy order of God,